Thanks for listening to the Voice Ministries podcast. To get more information about Voice, or if you were blessed by this message and want to sow into our ministry, go to our website at voiceministries.com.
I did a study and I found out that people can retain or they listen and can hear about 240 words per minute. So I'm going to dive right into this. And I figure the faster I go, the a little bit more that you're probably going to be able to receive tonight. And so I think my chances might be good. But not really. I won't go too fast, I promise. But I just want you to go ahead and look at your neighbor and say, get ready. Look at him again on the other side and say, get ready. Yeah, because we're going to dive into the Word tonight. I'm going to share my testimony. If you don't know, I'm Andy Bowman, as Pastor Bob was just speaking, 30 years old from Toledo, Ohio. Now I work at Teen Challenge, and I'm about to get into that in a second about my testimony, just so you know a little bit about who I am. But you can go ahead with the first one there, Caleb. But what I really want to talk about tonight is about overcoming. And up here it says, we must overcome. And I studied that out, and I looked into it, into the passage we're going to get into here in a couple minutes in Revelation. It talks about overcoming, right? And that we have to be overcomers. Well, I looked that up in the Greek, as a lot of us know in the New Testament, it was written in the Greek, the Old Testament in the Hebrew. And in the Greek, what overcome means, it says nikeo. Right there up top there, you can see up here, it says nikeo. That's in the Greek, which means to be victorious. To be victorious in the struggle. And you know where Nikeo comes from here in the English? Nike. Isn't that crazy? Nike. See, but the thing about Nike is it means to be victorious in the struggle in athletics, in performance, in what we do. That's where the word Nike actually comes from. But the word Nikeo in the Greek, that's overcoming in the Bible, that talks about our testimony, that talks about our life and the way that we live, it's through Christ. Isn't that cool? Isn't that awesome? It's through Jesus Christ. That's what Nikeo means. Nikeo means we overcome through Jesus Christ. That's the only way. The biblical term of overcome there, what that actually means, Nikeo. Remember that, because the only way you can overcome is through Jesus Christ. There is no other way. And that's what that word there in the Greek means. And I was telling the guys at Teen Challenge last night as we had a chapel that I kind of have like this OCD thing. And every time I speak and every time I preach, I just have to pray over it. It's weird, but I don't know why, but I just have to pray over it. And I knew that someone would probably pray for me tonight, and I love that, but I'm going to have to kind of double it. Because before I preach, it's just something that if I don't pray, I feel like then maybe I'm pointing you guys to myself. And I just want you to know that everything I'm going to say tonight is about Jesus Christ. That's the only reason I stand up here. There's nothing good I can do. There's nothing good I'll ever do. My heart is wicked and deceitful to the core. But because Jesus, him, he took, saved my life and changed me radically, turned my life around. Now I can talk and give glory to him. He took my mess and turned it into a message, right? He took my trial and turned it into triumph. And so let's just pray. I won't be a super long prayer, but I just really want to pray and ask God to take complete control right now of everything that I say. I don't want to say anything that's from my flesh. So Father, we just love you tonight, God. God, each one of us right now, we invite you in our hearts. We invite you in our minds, God, and we ask that you would speak to us. So Father, right now we're asking, would you speak? Holy Spirit, have your way. We give you control. We surrender, God. So, Father, we love you. God, we ask you to forgive us of things that we've done this week, things we've done today. We repent right now, God. And we want to stay at that altar. We want to stay desperate and hungry for more of you, God. We want to see you move in our lives. So speak to us, Father, if we leave this place the same. God forbid, if we leave this place the same, then coming here was for nothing. And we don't want this to be in vain. So, God, speak. God, have your way. Father, I give you control. They don't want to hear a word from man, God. They want to hear a word from the throne. We give you control and ask you, Father, would you speak? We want to hear from you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So I'm going to talk about my testimony. You can go to the next slide there, Caleb. And just so you guys know, I had like 5 minutes. I made a cheap slide real quick. I'm kind of embarrassed about it a little bit, but I figured it might help you guys. So in Revelations chapter 12, you guys can go there if you want. Revelations chapter 12, verse 11. I'm going to read it. I'm actually going to read more than just verse 11 here because it's important. I'm probably going to read about 8 through 12. Revelations chapter 12, and I'm going to read a couple verses and show you maybe some things you haven't seen. All right, we're going to start at verse 8. It says, "But he was not strong enough, and they lost their place in heaven." Check this out. "The great dragon was hurled down, that ancient serpent called the devil, or Satan, who leads the whole world astray. He was hurled to the earth, and his angels with him. Then I heard a loud voice in heaven say, Now have come the salvation and the power and the kingdom of our God and the authority of his Christ. For the accuser of our brothers, who accuses them before our God day and night, has been hurled down. They overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. They did not love their life so much as to shrink from death. Therefore, rejoice, you heavens, and you who dwell in them. But woe to the earth and the sea, because the devil has gone down to you. He is filled with fury, because he knows that his time is short." Did you guys catch that? It said, "But they overcame Satan," who's the accuser of the brethren. He's going to accuse you of all types of things. It said, "By the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, and they did not love their lives so much as to shrink from death." That's deathful. I could stop right there. They did not love their lives so much as to shrink back from death. So let me tell you, like I said, I'm Andy. I'm 30 years old, and I'll just tell you my story because I love the world, and that was my problem for a long time. I grew up in an awesome family. My parents had just radically got saved a couple years before I was born. My dad was an ex-heroin addict, alcoholic, pothead, and when my parents met. But when about 2 years before I was born, my dad got radically saved, amen? And so I'm thankful for that. My older brothers, I'm the third sibling. I got two older brothers, one sister who's a year younger than me. But so when I was born, my parents were just fresh into this thing, loving Jesus, and I'm so thankful for that today. Even though I went astray, I know that their prayers, I know that the life that they walked in and led in front of me, that God's heard that. That God's heard that, and that now he's recounting his faithfulness through their prayers. And though I went astray, do you guys know that it says that his word won't return void? See, those seeds that are planted, they don't just wither and die. They do take a lot of money. So I grew up, four kids in a trailer park. Didn't have a lot of money, didn't have a lot of things, but what I did was I had love. I had love, I had true love, and honestly, that was awesome, and that was the best thing a child could ever ask for. And I grew up watching my parents love Jesus, and at 9 years old, I got baptized and saved in the church. The problem was I didn't really know what that meant. I just kind of had pressure on me to get baptized and to say this prayer. I knew I wanted to go to heaven, and I didn't want to go to this place that they talked about with fire. In hell, because when I was growing up, which I'm only 30, but at that time there was a lot of fire and brimstone messages, and so it kind of scared me. The pastor that I had at my home church always talked about fire and brimstone, and I think that's awesome. I loved it, but I was more scared of hell, and I had no understanding of what a relationship would. I never knew any of that. And so anyways, I got into high school. I started playing sports a lot. My oldest brother, who I looked up to, was a high school king, and he was the homecoming king, and he was awesome at football. And so that's kind of, he became my idol, and that became my world, was sports. Sports, sports, sports. The thing I wanted to do, I wanted to be popular. I wanted this image. I wanted everybody to like me. I wanted everybody to think I was cool. And I would go to church on Sundays and Wednesdays for my parents just to keep them happy so I could go hang out during the week. Because if I didn't go to church, they wouldn't let me do anything. But other than that, when I went to church, I wasn't there. And I think there's probably a lot of us that have come in here at times on a Tuesday or Sunday or another service, and we've probably been there, but we really weren't there. We really weren't there. We didn't really receive much. Well, that was me for a long time, for 21 years of my life. For 21 years of my life. And so in high school, I started chasing after girls. I started partying. I started going hard. And I'm not one of those guys that just dibbles or dabbles. I got to go all the way. I got to be the coolest. I want people to kind of notice And so I went hard after the world. I graduated high school. Just, I got like a 2.7 GPA, nothing great. And my parents told me as I was getting ready to go to college, like all my other friends were, that, hey, we're not going to help you go to college. I was a week away from starting college. My mom said, hey, we're not going to help you go to college. We've prayed about it. And we just can't justify helping pay any money when you're, and I was a Lord. And we can't enable you just to go to college and party it away. And I was hurt. And I was upset. And I was mad, and as the world tells you, though, as a man, you can do this. You can do this. You got this. You can do this, right? And you're supposed to, as a man, be able to do it and not try to get other people to help you. And so I went to the Air Force. I went to the Air Force and still not living for the Lord, drinking and drugging, and went to the Air Force, thought that might clean me up a little bit. After 2.5 years of being in the Air Force, I ended up failing a drug test. For marijuana. I got kicked out after 3 years. I had a relationship with a girl that I was in at the time, being immoral. It wasn't a good relationship, and found out she was cheating on me when I got back from the Air Force. And that led me into Oxycontin and heroin. I got 2 DUIs before the age of 21. And I was just on a path that wasn't any good. I started shooting up, messing with all types of drugs, anything I could get my hands on. I was miserable. And I'd gone to rehab after rehab, trying to fix it. None that were Christian or godly, just secular rehabs. And they'd put another pill in me and say, here you go, give me Suboxone or something. Challenge. And so finally, my mom, who had been reaching out and praying, told me about this place called Teen Challenge. And this would have been back in 2008. And I was like, no. She's like, it's a year long. It's like a college campus. You know, you can go there. It's like going to college, and you get these dorms with guys, and you get classes, and you get to study, and you do some work duties, but they feed you, and there's cooks. And I was like, oh, my gosh. Like, that sounds awesome. You know, at the time, I'm 21. I'm like, go back to college? Heck, yeah, because I went, and I failed. I flunked out because I was partying. So I was like, man, God, that's sweet. You're going to let me do all this, and it's free? What? So finally, one night when I'd been so strung out on drugs and I thought I wanted to kill myself, I told God, I said, let me make it through tonight, because my heart was beating so fast from the drugs I was on. And I said, God, if you let me make it through tonight, then and I don't die and you save me, then I'll call my mom tomorrow. And at 6 in the morning, I maybe slept an hour or two, I called my mom and said, okay, come pick me up and I'll go to Teen Challenge. And I left everything behind. I had all my clothes I left there. I took like a bag. I was living with some people I worked with. I took a garbage. I was withdrawn and headed up to Western Michigan Teen Challenge in Muskegon, Michigan. And I was so sick. I was withdrawing. I was sick. And if anybody knows anything about heroin, and even if you don't, well, thank God, like praise God, I hope you don't. You don't need to. But I'll tell you that it's a horrible drug, and it makes you withdraw really bad. And it takes anywhere from 3 to 7 days just to get rid of the body feeling of the withdrawals. And the mental, it goes on for months and sometimes years for people. But I had just started my withdrawals when I went there, and I was bad. I was bad. I was in a fetal position. I was vomiting, and it was coming out both sides. It was bad. Sorry to be descriptive, but I'm just being honest with you. I'm just telling you, this is sin. This is a consequence of sin. And so I went up there, and after about 12 hours, I went down to the office and told the staff member, I said, I got to go. I'm not going to make it. I gotta go. Take me to the hospital or something. And he took me to the hospital, and the doctor there started telling me, she's like, we're not going to give you nothing. We can't give you anything. She's like, we'll give you some fluids because you're probably dehydrated or something. And I was so mad. I kind of like just wanted to reach over and be like, yeah, you can, you know, smack or something. And in the moment, that's what I think. I'm like, I know you can give me something, you know. But that's how worldly I was. I was so mad at her that she wouldn't give me something that I was lost. So anyways, I don't want to drag story on, but this brother that's with me, the next thing I know, he prays for me. And at the time, I couldn't sleep. I was bad. He prayed for me. She pumped some fluids in my arm, and somehow I fell asleep. And an hour later, I woke up after this guy prayed for me, and I was completely healed. Boom. Miraculously healed. I woke up, and I didn't feel anything, and I thought maybe she gave me some drugs or something. I'm like, dude, what'd she give me? He's like, nothing. She just gave you some fluids to make sure you weren't dehydrated. And I was like, yeah, right. And I was like, well, I'll see you in the morning, you know, because at this time, I didn't believe in God. I'd see my mom praying in tongues all the time, and I was like, she's weird. Like, she's a Jesus freak or something, and I'd make fun of her with all my friends because I didn't understand every morning why I saw her in her devotional. And sometimes on her notebook, I would see my name on it, and Lord, please help Andy not to die. And Lord, please help Andy with this and with that. All the time I was in a notebook and I was like, what the heck? Like, Lord, help her. I don't need it. You know, and I would get mad. And so anyways, that night the guy prayed for me and I was healed. The next morning was a real test, though. And the next morning I woke up and I jumped out of bed and I was completely healed. Miraculously healed. I didn't go through any withdrawals for the rest of the time I was there. It was crazy. I didn't feel sick. I mean, I went out and played sports that day. I worked. They're like, dude, what happened? Because I had puked in the dorm. I just got in with like 15 other guys. I puked in the garbage. And I remember them coming in from work duties, and I was brand new, like a couple hours new. And these guys walk into the room, and I'm up on my bed, you know, putting the blanket over my head, and a couple of the guys are like, oh, what is that? And I'm like, crap. I hope they don't know it's me, you know, that puked in the garbage brand new and just ruined their whole room. But anyways, so the next morning I was healed. God miraculously healed me. And what happened after that is I came up to an altar just like this, because I didn't believe in God. I didn't want anything to do with God. I wanted to get clean and sober. And I came up to an altar, and I bent my knees down to the Lord. And I said, and that day with one of the pastors, I gave my heart to the Lord. And I said, Jesus, I'll serve you. I said, God, I give you my life. And I repented, and I confessed with my mouth, and I believed in my heart. Because for me, God showed me he was real. Tangibly, he did a manifestation and healed me. Not forever. Everybody does that happen. But then God started speaking to me, and God said, well, for me, with drugs, with this life, the way that I lived, I was go big or go home. And God showed me that the way that I was going to have to serve him, the way that I was going to have to live for him, if it was going to be real, I was going to have to be radical. I was going to have to raise my hands. I was going to have to pray. I was going to have to engage. I was going to have to participate, because that was what I did with the world. When I heard music, I danced and I jumped and I got excited about it. When I was with my friends, I was passionate about the things we were passionate about. When there were sports games on, I yelled and I screamed and I got excited. So if I really believed in Jesus Christ, if I really believed in this God who just saved me and gave me eternal life, who just healed me from this drug that literally almost killed me, there wasn't going to be just this little quiet Andy, just this guy that shrunk back and believe in God. No, it was going to be passionate. It was going to be all the way. It was going to be a God who wrecked and changed my life and set me on fire. Set me on fire for him. And so I went on this journey with God over the last 8.5 years. I went on this journey with God, and he spoke to me that I was called to ministry and to help youth. And I ended up going out to Virginia, and I worked with adolescent boys 13 to 18, a teen challenge that had drug and alcohol problems, and it was awesome. It was so awesome, and I got to serve and work my way up. You know, position or title didn't matter, but I did. Derek Lyons, who's back there, a lot of you guys know him. He actually worked out there with me. And so I had been there for about 2.5 years, and there was a staff member that I had to fire. And when I had to fire this staff member, we were best friends at the time. He was like 45. I think I was 25. And so he kind of saw it as not too cool. Not this young guy who's my boss is about to fire me. And so anyways, I don't want to make it about me or him, because that's definitely not it. But anyway, so when I had to fire him, me and my boss were sitting there. He said, well, Andy shouldn't be working here either because he sexually harassed me. And I was like, whoa, what's he talking about? And he's like, yeah, Andy sexually harassed me because he's poured cold water on me in the shower. And I did. I thought it was funny. I used to do pranks like that all the time. You know, I'd put mustard on the doorknob, and the guy would come in and scream, ah, and I'd pour cold water when they were in the shower, and they'd go, ah, and I thought it was funny, and I did that stuff all the time, and he did it to me, too. But in that moment, it didn't matter. In that moment, it didn't matter. I had done it, and I didn't say a word. I didn't say a word. I didn't try to defend myself. I was just kind of shocked and blown away. And that took me on a month paid leave, where because he said, unless Andy resigns or you guys fire him, I'm gonna say that he sexually harassed me. And so in that moment at 25 years old, I'd been passionately serving the Lord for 4 years. All of a sudden, my world had been flipped side, literally upside down. My life was flipped upside down, and I didn't know what to do. I was mad at God. I was like, God, okay, you gotta take care of this situation. I know you're going to be on my side, God, and I know you're going to get me through. Because I know your promises, and I know what the enemy intended for evil, you intend for good. And I know I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And I know greater is he that is in me than that's in this world. And I know that you didn't give me a spirit of fear, but a power, love, and a sound mind. And I went and I recounted all these verses. But the thing was, I was still thinking about me. And I want you to look at your neighbor, look whoever's next to you, and tell them it's not about you. You want to know why? Tell them because it's about me. It tricked you, didn't it? Tell them it's about me. See, because usually it's not about you, but tonight it is. See, because we serve a personal God. Oh, I want you guys to know, listen to me here. If you haven't listened to the whole thing, it's about to get good. I know I've just been blabbering about myself. But I want you guys to listen and understand that we serve a God who's personal. And we get the opportunity, as I have awesome friends in here, Josh, who was up on the drums tonight. I'm thankful for Josh, thankful for his friendship, as we're really good friends. We hang out all the time, and he speaks into my life, and I get to watch him serve with the passion. I'm thankful for Derek Lyons back there, the same thing as we've got to do ministry over the last 7 years, and some of the new interns, and Josie and Jordan, and even these younger guys. Wasn't it awesome as we saw seven men up here worshiping the Lord? Man, that's my heart. I've been praying that for 8 years now. God, make us men who worship you. God, give us men who are passionate. God, give us men who recklessly and abandonedly will serve you and give up everything. And that's why I do what I do, is to see other men's lives be transformed, to see them be wrecked and go after Jesus and experience the glory of God. And I can remember a year and a half coming in here to The Voice, and they still do this, but there was tons of women up here and maybe like one guy from Teen Challenge, and I was like, what the heck? You know, because I've grown up in a family where my mom has been passionate for the Lord, but unfortunately, my dad never displayed that for me. My dad always loved me. My dad always showed me love and was a great father. He never cursed me, never hit me or anything like that, but he just wasn't passionate. And so when I see men getting on fire for the Lord, I love that. I was telling some guys today, I want to be like a flamethrower or a torch passer. I want to pass the torch. I want to ignite and light other men and see them burn and get on fire for the Lord. I want to take a fire and place it in another man and be able to just keep passing them and just see fires lit all over the place, kind of like a wildfire in a forest. And it just keeps going, and you just keep passing it, right? And that's what I want to be. And so I came up to this thing at Teen Challenge in Virginia. I ended up having to resign. And I walked away from the Lord. Came back home to Toledo. Toledo was my Egypt. Should have never went back to Egypt, but I did. I ran. And for 2 years, I ran away from the Lord. For 2 years, I got back into immoral relationships. Started drinking. Started partying. After 4 years of living in ministry, and I just completely walked away from the Lord. And it wasn't until about 2.5 years ago that I got back to a place with the Lord. It wasn't about till 2.5 years ago when I finally got broken, when I finally got desperate, when I finally realized I had walked away from the call of God in my life, that I surrendered once again and said, okay, God, I know it wasn't your fault. I know it wasn't your fault. I forgive you. But really, I didn't need to forgive God. I needed God to forgive me, right? But for me, that was something I needed to say first before I could even accept his forgiveness. Listen, so I went back to Teen Challenge, and I realized this. This is powerful. And you can go ahead and go to the next one here. I know we kind of fell off. Overcome. I realized this, that I had no character. I realized that I was super zealous for the Lord. I love to speak in front of people. I love to preach. I love to get people on fire back then. But guess how big my character was? Hear this. My character was this big, and my zeal for the Lord and my passion was this big. I didn't have any character. Behind the scenes, when I was in ministry, I was watching movies I shouldn't have been watching. I was listening to music I had no right ever watching. I was doing things that I shouldn't have been doing. I was compromising, but then going and speaking in front of men and women and trying to lead other people. I had a lot of religious activities that I did, but I had no relationship with Jesus Christ. I didn't have a genuine, authentic relationship with the Lord. I did what they call fake it to make it. And you know what that makes you? Fake. That's it. If you feed it, you need it. So if you feed it, you need it, and that's what you become. And I started this thing off, and overcome is a big thing. I was praying, and I said, God, what's your word? Not only for tonight, but for a testimony. And I shared with you that we have to overcome, right? By the blood of the Lamb and by the word of our testimony. And what I've realized, I wasn't wrong by that, man. Something happened to me. It's okay. It's life. We go through trials. We go through struggles. That's what the word means, overcome chaos and the chaos. Because why? Because there's victory through the struggle. See, we got to understand that Jesus did what he did for us to show us that he's our example. Jesus didn't do what he did to show us that we're supposed to live this life through all these blessings, through all this things, though we do get blessed. But often what happens is through the blessings, we start seeking the blessing rather than the blesser. So I'm going to show you this really quick as I'm running out of time. I'm going to go through here, Revelation chapter 2. You can follow along with me if you want. If you don't, you don't have to. It shows up there. But Revelation chapter 2, 7, and this is a word to the churches. And this is for all of us, but check this out. This is about overcoming. And when God speaks something and he continues to repeat it, it probably means it's important and we need to listen. And some of us may have seen this before, some of us may not. But to the seven churches, Jesus is speaking a word to them. And I'm going to go to chapter 2 here. And I'm actually going to read this really quick just because it's good. And it's in verse 4, and he's talking to the church at Ephesus. In verse 4, he says, "Yet I hold this against you. You have forsaken your first love." Might be some of us in here tonight. "Remember the height from which you have fallen. Repent and do the things you did at first. If you do not repent, I will come to you and remove your lampstand from its place." So God's calling us to return. For some of us that have left our first love, when we first got saved, when we were excited about the things of God, when we were passionate, when we prayed for others, when we believed God to do miracles, God's saying, return back to your first love, where you remember what I've brought you from, where you remember the height of your fall, where you quit forgetting what I had to bring you from, where you picked up your will. He says, I want my will to be done in your life. But return, unless I take your lampstand. And this is to the church. Because what's a lampstand do? It lights up, right? It's a light. It's the fire. It's what keeps burning. God says, I'm going to take that if you don't repent and get back to that first love. And verse 7 says, "He who has an ear to hear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. To him who overcomes, I will give the right to eat from the tree of life, which is in the paradise of God." Isn't that good news? God's going to give you and I the right to the tree of life in paradise. How many of us want to go to heaven? How many of us want eternal life? Like, seriously, think about how many of us want eternal life in heaven? Hopefully everybody in here, right? I believe that's why you're here tonight, because you love Jesus and you want eternal life. Well, guess what you have to do? You got to overcome. That means that you're victorious through the struggle. You're victorious through the struggle. That's what this word overcome right here means. Now go to verse 11. Check this out. To the church in Smyrna. These are all the promises God's given us if we overcome. This is the good news. "He who has an ear to hear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. He who overcomes will not be hurt at all by the second death." Woo! Hallelujah! Isn't that good? Come on, somebody. That's good. That's good news for you and I. But guess what? We got to overcome. Woo! Man, I'm excited. I was praying just a little bit ago about this word and about this, and the fire of God just came over me. And I couldn't contain and handle it. And so I know that if you'll receive this tonight, if you'll understand this, this could take you into a completely different dimension. See, this is something that could impact and put an imprint on your life. and your destiny, but you have to receive it. You have to understand it. You have to embrace it, and you got to be willing to overcome, to walk victorious through the struggle. We're not looking for the blessing. God, we want the blesser. We're not looking for the blessing. We're looking for the blesser. Let's go to the next one. I got them all up there. Chapter 2, verse 17. It says, he who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. See, we got to listen over and over. Right away, he starts off with the same thing. He who has an ear, so let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. To him who overcomes, I will give some of the hidden manna. I will also give him a white stone with a new name. Woo! How many of us want a new name? Hallelujah. I need a new name. I know what people remember me for. And I'm so thankful I don't look like that man anymore. But I'm thankful that God doesn't put that label on my head. Heroin addict, drug addict. I'm so thankful that today I'm not dependent upon a hit. I'm not dependent upon a relationship. I'm not dependent upon someone else. I'm not dependent upon anything but God. Amen. And so he gives us a new name. It's so exciting. He says, and not only him, a new name written on it, known only to him who receives it. Woo! It's good. It's good. Verse 26. Check this out. This is really good. I want you guys to get this and receive it. It says, to him who overcomes and does my will to the end. Not just for a week. Not just for a year at Teen Challenge. Not just for a couple years. He says, to him who overcomes and does my will to the end, I will give authority over nations. Over nations. See, these are promises for you and I. These are promises that God has given to you and I, but we have to overcome. See, these are ifs. They're conditional. They are. Because you have to overcome. Aren't you thankful that God loves you so much that he gave you a will? He gave you a choice? That's good news. Let's go to chapter 3. It shows you the next one up there is 5. Chapter 3, verse 5. Check out how God is overcoming, constantly explaining to them about overcoming, overcoming, overcoming. I think that there's something for us to receive in this, that we're going to have to overcome. Well, how often, Andy? Well, every day. So my thoughts every day, you're telling me every single time I get a thought that I got to fight it, every single thought all day long. It says what? To take every thought captive and bring it under the obedience of Christ, because they're trying to exalt themselves above the knowledge of God. Taking every thought captive. So all day long, you know how many bad thoughts I have in here? I look at that person, I think this. I look at that person, I say this. And all day long, yeah, all day long. All day long. All day long. All day long you use the word of God and you memorize it and you put it in your heart, because it says in Psalms 119:11, I have put my word in your heart that I might not sin against thee. I have put your word in my heart that I might not sin against thee. So what do we got to do so we don't sin? We got to put his word in our heart. Ooh, application, it's good. Chapter 3, verse 5, he who overcomes will like them be dressed in white. I will never blot out his name from the book of life, but will acknowledge his name before my Father and his angels. He who has an ear to hear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. Hallelujah. He'll never blot out our name. That's good news. Let's go to the next one, 3:12. 3:12. Him who overcomes, I will make a pillar in the temple of my God. Never again will he leave. I will write on him the name of my God and the name of the city of my God, the new Jerusalem, which is coming down out of heaven from my God. And I will also write on him my new name. Man, that's such good news. And the last one, 3:21. Hang in there with me. 21, to him who overcomes, I will give the right to sit with me on my throne, just as I overcame and sat down with my Father on his throne. He who has an ear to hear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. Do you guys get it? Are you getting it? Are you hearing it? To him who overcomes, I give him the right to sit on the throne with my Father because I overcame. See, the life that we have to look at is a life of Jesus. See, Jesus overcame. It didn't matter what it was. You want to know why Jesus overcame? Because he wasn't of this world. He wasn't about this world. He didn't love this world. He loved you and I. See, the Bible is all about redemption of mankind through a divinely appointed Savior. See, Jesus came for you and I to experience heaven forever. But he didn't come so that we would love the things of this world, or so that we would act like this world, or that we would look like this world. He came so we wouldn't be of this world, and so that we would do what? The will of his Father. Because Jesus said, I'm about whose business? I'm about my Father's business. See, Jesus was never about himself. It says it in Philippians 2. He did not consider himself to be equal with God, but instead he humbled himself, even to obedience and death on the cross. So God exalted him to the right hand of the Father. Isn't that awesome? Listen, we have to overcome every day our flesh. Every day what we want to do is not my will, but your will be done, God. Not my will, but your will be done, God. Not my will, but your will be done today, God. What would you have me do? Where would you have me go? Who would you have me speak to? What do you have for me to do today, God? Not because this relationship is something I can earn, but what you did for me on the cross, God. I owe you the rest of my life. What can I do, God, to repay you? Not because I'm trying to earn your grace, but because I love you so much and I understand what you brought me out of. I understand what you did for me. What can I do? How can I bring another soul in before they get lost? How can I go into the depths, God? God, how can I go into the depths? How can I go into the streets today? Who can I call on the phone? God, what brother, what sister? What mother, what father, what child can I invest in their life today? God, what could I do just to plant a seed, God? God, would you even consider me worthy enough, faithful enough, God, just to be used today? Go to the next slide here real quick, Caleb. As I'm closing, I want to show you guys something God just showed me this week. Over the last week, I was just reading, I was doing my devotional in Acts chapter 13, verse 22. A lot of us know about David, right? And a lot of us have heard how David was loved, and he had a heart after God's own heart, right? Well, I've preached this wrong for a long time, and I just saw this, and I was like, oh my gosh. A priest preached a half-truth. You guys know what a half-truth is? What's the other half? If it's half-truth, it's half what? Lie, or wrong, or deceit. Isn't that crazy? It was half-true, but half-lie. I didn't have it in its fullness. See, God showed me this week. I'm going to read it to you guys in Acts chapter 13, verse 22. It says, after removing Saul, he made David their king. He testified concerning him. I have found David, son of Jesse, a man after my own heart. He will do everything I want him to do. And I was like, whoa, what? You know why he was a man after God's own heart? Because he said, God, not my will. Not my will, God, but your will be done. See, in the New King James Version, it says, he will do all my will. And some of your versions out there, it says, he will do all my will. Whew. See, you know why he had a heart after God's own heart? Because it wasn't his heart. It wasn't his heart. He said, not my will, but yours be done. So he had to receive God's. And he was in relationship with God, so it was God working through him in God's heart. Because in our heart, it's wicked and deceitful. That's what it says in the Bible. That's just what it says. And then it says that we have to receive a new heart and a new spirit. See, we got to be born again. But it's not the heart that we have. Yes, David was repentant, and that was good. And that was a heart after God's own heart. And that's what I used to always teach, was just he was repentant for what he did. But it's so much more than that. He was willing to say, not my will, God, but your will be done. Not my will, God, but yours be done. That's deep, guys. This is how we're going to overcome. We got to lose this life. We got to lose our dreams, our pleasures, our desires, and follow God with everything. That's how we're going to overcome. And it's scary, and it's tough. And we're going to suffer, and it's going to be good, because we're going to celebrate in heaven forever. It's worth it. It's worth it. Paul said, I suffer for your sake. And I tell these guys in Teen Challenge all the time, I suffer for your sake. I don't make a big paycheck or do all these things. Why? For you. For you. And I would do it over and over again. It says in Revelation, where I just read to you, I got it up here. But 2:26, it says, to him who overcomes and does my will to the end. Says it right there. Same thing. God says, to him who overcomes and does my will to the end. Go ahead and go to the last slide, Caleb. And I want to close on this. If we have someone here to play music, that would be awesome. This would be my closing. This is when you come play it. That'd be cool. But I gave this to the Teen Challenge guys a little while back. You know, and I like to, at Teen Challenge, they call them Bowmanisms. From time to time, I'll give little rhymes or little things that kind of go together. And this one, I got back here, the Lord was kind of just speaking to me some things about it. And I want to ask you the question tonight, is what it says up there. What is your why? Think about it. What is your why? Why do you wake up every morning? Why do you come to The Voice on Tuesdays? Why do you go to work? Probably for a lot of people, it's because you got a paycheck. You got a house. You got things you got to pay for. You got a family you got to support, right? Normal stuff. You got to put food on the table. You got to live, right? But think about this. Right now, I just pray that everybody that's in here, if you didn't get anything else tonight, think about this. What is your why? What is your why? Really, when you wake up in the morning, what gets you going? And this is why I'm going to tell you, because your why must be bigger than you. Your why must be bigger than you. The second point, my why is Jesus Christ. My why has to be Jesus Christ. See, because if my why isn't Jesus Christ, like I put up here, it says if your why isn't bigger than you, then your you will always get in the way of your why and all that God has for you and our destination needing to be heaven. See, if your why isn't bigger than you, you will always get in the way. You'll always come first. Well, you want to go to church now? No, I don't feel like it. Well, I'm having a hard day, so I'm not raising my hands today. I don't feel like it. See, when Mike was going during worship and he's trying to exhort us, trying to encourage us, the Lord spoke to me this early in ministry. He said, I've called you to do 5 different things. He said, I've called you to exhort, to encourage, to edify, to exalt, and to uplift. I said, wow, that's awesome. That's awesome. You know what Mike was trying to do? Exalt and encourage and uplift and edify and exalt, because he wanted to push you into that place of while you're struggling, you can still be victorious. It's called overcome. Nikeo, Nikeo, overcome. What's your why? Is it Jesus? Is it Jesus? Jesus has to be your why. If Jesus isn't your why, then everything you're doing right now probably has no purpose. You probably get anxiety. You're probably filled with fear. You're probably filled with depression. You probably got a lot of struggles, and you're trying to figure them out on your own. Your prayer life probably isn't very successful. And I say all that because of this. If Jesus is your why, then your byproduct is all those things. See, if Jesus is my why, then my prayer life gets better and better. Because the closer I get to Jesus, the more I become like him. I have to. It just doesn't make any sense not to. The more I'm in relationship with Jesus, the more I become like him. And the more I start to love the things he loves. The more I become passionate about the things he's passionate about, the more I want to give up my will, the more I want to suffer for the sake of others. Not that suffering's fun, but I understand. I understand it's just a prerequisite of being a Christian. It's what it is to be one with Christ. He says, I'm going to be rejected, right? They're rejected. He said, he told us if we are to preach his name, that will be persecuted. Paul talks about it over and over, being persecuted for the name of Jesus. And it happens today. If we were to go out there and preach the whole Bible right now in the world, you're going to be persecuted. You don't preach that whole word. You don't preach against sin too heavenly out there. Right now in the world, we're safe in here at times. But if we were to go out there, we'd be persecuted. And I just believe that there's men and that there's women in here that God has called you to be the forerunners. God has called you to passionately burn for him. He's called you to overcome with from this world, and he's calling you out of it. And there's a lot of things that each one of us struggle with from day to day. And there's a lot of things that we got going on in our life. But what is your why? What is your why? And so at this time, I'm just going to ask you guys to go ahead and bow your head. I'm going to pray. And I'm going to give you the opportunity. I'm going to give you the opportunity if some of you want to come to the altar. Because you just want to do business with the Lord. And you want to say, God, will you forgive me? My why hasn't been bigger than me. My why hasn't been bigger than me. I still got dreams and desires and all these things that take precedence. That is first. But God, I want my why. I want you, God, to be the only thing that matters. Maybe some of you guys want to come up here and I'll pray for you for whatever it is. Maybe you just want to get refreshed, revived. Maybe you want to come back to that first love that you walked away from. Maybe you want to repent of some things. Whatever it is, I just want to encourage you, if you want to come to the altars, that they're open. And God is calling you to be an overcomer. God's not calling you to stay in the same place. God's calling us to overcome, to go deeper, to go farther with him. So, Father, we just thank you tonight, God. God, we thank you, Jesus, for what you're doing in each one of our lives. God, we thank you for your word. We thank you that you overcame, Jesus. And so, Jesus, tonight, we give our hearts to you, Father. We ask you to have your way. Father, we ask you to come in, to refresh, to revive us, to change us. Change our desires, change our dreams, God. Continue to give us revelation and reveal who you are. So, Father, we love you, we thank you, God, and we praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. So if you guys want to come, you can. I just ask everybody else to be kind of mindful. Some people are still dealing and processing and just receiving from God right now. If you want to leave, and that's fine, you're welcome to, but just be mindful, be courteous of others around you who might still be just kind of thinking and processing this. And if you want to come to the altar, you can come to the altar, and I will pray for you, and just ask God to burn in your heart and give you a fire, give you a passion, help you to be an overcomer. Amen.
I'm coming back to the heart of worship. It's all about you. It's all about you, Jesus. I'm sorry, Lord, for the thing I made. It's all about you. It's all about you, Jesus. Coming back to the heart of worship. It's all about you. It's all about you, Jesus. I'm sorry, Lord, for the thing I've made it. It's all about you. It's all about you, Jesus. Coming back to the heart of worship. It's all about you. It's all about you, Jesus. I'm sorry, Lord, for the thing I've made it. When it's all about you, it's all about. Heart of a worship. It's all about you. It's all about you, Jesus. I'm sorry, Lord, for the things I've made. And it's all about you. It's all about you, Jesus. Thank you. More than a song, Lord, I bring.